Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom comes, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There are 2 parables given here in Matthew 25. It is interesting to consider this. What would be the implication of this parable if the doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture was true? What would the implication be? I'll tell you what the implication would be. The implication would be that all those left behind letters and rapture-ready websites would be in vain. Because once the bridegroom comes and takes you to the wedding feast, it's too late. You can't enter in. There would be no such thing as a tribulation saint. If the rapture was true, you would take the saints out of the world, and then from that point on, there's no such thing as a tribulation saint. There's no such thing as getting saved. After the door is shut, they want to be saved. Lord, let us in. No, you can't come in. I'm not taking any more. Sorry, you're shut out. There's no chance for repentance. You can't ignore this. For those of you who don't understand what I'm talking about, and I guess I assume too much, but the rapture is almost a piece of pop culture, so I would be surprised if people didn't understand that the rapture is this idea that we're all sitting here right now, right? We think everything's normal, but at any moment, Jesus Christ could invisibly appear in the sky so that no one else would detect him in the world, but all the Christians would suddenly be caught up with him in the clouds, and that the way the world would observe this would be by us all disappearing. Never mind that that's not how Jesus left the world. He didn't leave invisibly. He left visibly. He was just carried up and away. But they have this idea that Jesus would come secretly and that we would all be instantly translated into a different body and that translation would have the effect visibly for the world of us disappearing in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. We would be caught up with him in the clouds. Now the idea of us who are alive being caught up with him in the clouds comes from the scripture. Of course, we've covered it in 1 Corinthians 15, but that's going to come at the last trumpet, right after the resurrection of the dead. It is the resurrection of the living, but the living don't need to be resurrected. They're translated. They will be changed. That's what Paul said. We will not all sleep, but we shall be changed. But imagine the implication of that doctrine on this, because what they say is, well, the church is going to be taken up in the rapture, and then the tribulation comes, and they invest money in websites and in services that are kind of like dead man switches. You know what a dead man switch is? Like the Russians had this for their nuclear program when it was all manual and everything. Imagine there's a button, and every day someone has to press that button. If a day goes by where someone doesn't press that button, all the nukes are launched. So if there's a dead hand, if there's no one alive to press that button to stop the system, it will begin a launch process. It's called the dead hand switch. But in the case of the Christians, what they've done is they've set up these websites and these mailing services. There's even a rapture animal care service that you can buy where there'll be people, certified non-believers, who will come and take care of your pets when you're taken away in the rapture. I wonder if they're making any money. People are leaving behind letters to loved ones. There are videos. There's a video called Left Behind. The idea is to provoke people to faith based on the fact you don't want to be left behind. That's why sometimes when I teach against this, people are going to get upset because it's one of the reasons that they believe the gospel, because they're afraid. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left in that terrible time. I mean, they have weepy videos where people are crying. You're going to be left in this horrible tribulation, and it's terrible to die. And they cry and weep, and they play on people's emotions. Not that I wouldn't play on your emotions, but I wouldn't play on your fears. I would rather play on your zeal for God. I would rather play on your desire for righteousness, on your hunger and your thirst for righteousness, than to go and say, aren't you afraid you're not going to be eternally alive? That's not something, we're all going to die. It's something every human being already deals with. I don't want to use the fear of death, though through the fear of death, we are all our lifetimes subject to bondage. But rather, for the zeal for life, I want you to be free. I mean, that's my perspective. But the implication of all these videotapes is that they believe that they can leave behind something that people are going to believe in. And if you watch the movies they've made, Left Behind, Tribulation Force, The Thief in the Night, all these rapture movies. After the rapture, there are believers, and they're forming a resistance against the devil. Well, if this parable is true, and it is, in the sense of, you don't always necessarily translate every symbol necessarily. That's not always the key. It's to understand the underlying idea, the idea behind the parable. And maybe I've jumped ahead by getting to an application before I've interpreted it for you. But let's look at it in that sense. What would the implication be? They arise and they go out to meet him and they enter into the marriage. They always say the church is in heaven, the rapture teachers say, for the marriage supper of the Lamb, while the tribulation is going on the earth. So, they're going to the marriage. And the ones who are left behind, who aren't ready to go in the rapture, what happens to them? Well, they're shut out, permanently. Permanently. Lord, Lord, open to us. Really, I say unto you, I know you not. He's not even going to recognize them. They went through all that trouble of getting that oil, and he doesn't recognize them. Well, the rapture doctrine isn't true. And I don't want to labor that point any more than I have, but it just struck me, and I thought it was worth talking about. It isn't really off the topic, because it's one more reason why you shouldn't believe it. Well, I'll tell you what, if you do believe it, you ought to also believe that there will be no tribulation saints. If Christ comes and takes away a bride, the bridegroom comes, and they enter into the marriage feast, then whoever's left is shut out. Once that happens, everyone left behind is just shut out. It's done. This parable makes that clear to me.